Hey, it's Brad, host of Your Weekly Calling. Look, Mondays are tough. Your alarm hates you, your coffee betrays you, your boss schedules a meeting at 8:01 like he's Thanos snapping your joy away. That's why I drop a new episode every Monday to help you focus, laugh a little bit, and remember that God's still calling you to more, even if your brain is still in the buffering phase. Trust me, you want this in your ears every Monday. Like and subscribe to Your Weekly Calling because purpose doesn't take weekends off.
This is the HopeCast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Welcome to the Heart Conviction Podcast on the HopeCast Network. I'm your host, Nina Palmer. Happy Thanksgiving week, y'all. Are we feeling thankful or what? I'm going to go ahead and rate this episode. We are in episode 12. This is going to be historical, dare I say. Do we trust me to relay history? I don't know. I think it's going to be like that segment that used to be on late night TV, like the drunk history that they used to do, you know, like they go outside bars and ask people historical questions. It might be like that. You know, don't come at me, you know, don't at me because we're going to give it our best here, but it's going to be a good episode and it's going to be inspirational, nothing too controversial. We are going to talk a little bit about church, but nothing that y'all can't stomach. Okay. I just want to give a huge just beyond shout out to Larry in last week's episode. If you have not listened to last week's episode, please go back and listen to it. I don't know if it's just me because I know him personally, but his story, attitude, and perspective, it moves me every single time. There wasn't a time that I re-listened to that episode that I wasn't just choked up. He was one of the first episodes I'd ever recorded. I was still pretty green. He even mentions that we had some technical issues in the beginning because I didn't know what I was doing. And we were trying so hard to get it to work. It was a whole thing. And I saved it for this because he doesn't just make me thankful, doesn't just give me perspective, but his life story and his attitude after the storm of all those things in his story, y'all, I can't stop crying when I hear his story. To go blind, physically blind in your 30s, and to really not skip a beat in your walk with God, it's, I don't have a good enough word for it. It's not just lovely or inspirational. It rocks my freaking world. It does. And we talk about how I was simultaneously going through the worst chapter in my life. And I would be sitting there just like licking my wounds, feeling terrible for myself. And I would think about what he was going through. And I would say to myself, at least I'm not blind. At least I'm not blind. That would be worse than this, what I was going through. And it's just such a good episode. I hope it really installs some kind of thankfulness in you. I think when we truly grasp that the easy things aren't always given to us, like good state of mind, our eyesight. You know what else is crazy is he's got some mobility issues too. He doesn't really talk about them. He's got some like leg issues and his mobility can be hindered a little bit. And it's like, he's just so full of joy. He never stops seeking entrepreneurship and new projects. And I'm not kidding y'all. He talks about how he wants to move to Dallas. He lives in Ohio. I'm like, and I was thinking, like, would I want to live somewhere else if I was blind? Think about it. So go back, listen to it, episode 11. It'll do something to you. I could talk this whole hour just about him in that story. We've been friends a long time, so it was like lighthearted and silly. So I hope that you were able to really get the message in between all the silliness, because the fact that he can still crack up and be who he is and be hilarious, I just love him. I trust him. I trust his advice. I like his perspective and how he sees God. I trust that part of him too. He is just so good. We're also live streaming right now on TikTok, and Zion, oh girl, that's a hard name. Zion Santa? Ooh, Zyonsanaa. That's a lot. I put it phonetically for me. She said, "Hi, Nina. Loved you on 60 Days In. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it. I hope you listen to my podcast, the Heart Conviction podcast, and add me. That means a lot to me. Thank you for saying that, because, you know, some people didn't really like me on there. So I'm thankful for the ones that did. I'm actually now on Cameo also. Do you guys know what Cameo is, where you can request people, like reality people or even some bigger people, singers, whatever, and you can request them to record a little video for you or for someone else. And they're just like really cute and funny, and you can do like for occasions, birthdays, whatever. Well, I got an email, and this kid's name was Ryan, and he was like, "Girl, can you go ahead and get on Cameo? Because I'm trying to buy a video." And I was like, "You know what? Yeah, sure can." I mean, he might be my only one, but I did it. And then he bought a second video back to back. So I've received cameos from people, and I have bought them for people before. And they're usually like 30 seconds to a minute. And mine were like 10 minutes. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. They were probably like, okay, that's good. Thank you. That's enough now. Just wanted to shout out. I was like telling stories and cracking up and showing them my foster dogs and the whole thing. Let's go ahead and talk about that. It's the elephant in the room. It's the elephant in the room for me. I know it means nothing to you. My thankfulness got so... Oh, it's pronounced like Zion in the Bible. Oh my God. First of all, one of my best friend's kid's name is Zion. I love the name Zion. Remember that Lauryn Hill song? And now my joy or summer is in Zion, is in Zion. Marching, 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 marching. It's pronounced like Zion in the Bible. I don't know why I struggled with that so hard. I think it was the three A's. I saw the three A's and I was just like, ah. Phonetically and literally. She said that's where my mom got it from, Lauryn Hill. That Unplugged album by Lauryn Hill changed my life. Now, can't see a sis in concert these days to save my life. We're making a full circle in the conversation now. One of my best friends who has a son named Zion, her and I have now tried to see Lauryn Hill together three times, and she cancels every single time. So sensitive subject for me. It's on my bucket list, but I'm not sure we're going to get there. Let's talk about these dang puppies, shall we? All right. Speaking of thankfulness gut check, if you will. We have an Airbnb a couple blocks from our house. If you want to stay at it, DM me, downtown Dallas. And I was over there doing some stuff for the house, pulling stuff out, whatever, changing stuff out. And there was a comforter that I wanted to use. And I was washing it back at my house three blocks over. And I was trying to keep an eyeball open. We all should. And I'm looking out the front door, and there's a pickup truck there just sitting out there watching. Now, we're in downtown, right? So people are everywhere, you know, sleeping all over the ground. Who's to say what anybody's doing? But I'm just watching. No big deal. Drive to my house, gone for all of 3 minutes to go get the comforter, come back, pull onto the street. And while I'm somewhat still at the end of the street, the truck is still sitting in front of my house. And he sees me, I guess, and he kind of swerves his car. He does this like weird thing. Y'all, this truck throws. Are you ready for this? He chucks two puppies out of the window, and they go, it's so sad. They go tumbling onto the street, crying, whining, hurt, crying. And it's like, I didn't even know what I was looking at. They're on my TikTok if you want to go see it. I made a video. Nina Texas is my TikTok. There's a couple of them. Or if you want to adopt them, I'll give you anything you want if you want to adopt them. I'll give you my PIN to my debit card. It's like, you can't even believe that you just saw that happen. Like, wait a minute. Am I looking at two puppies that got thrown? It's just weird. Now, what's really in me is to go chase that car, and I would chase him into Oklahoma, but it was like, do I go catch the puppies, these little puppies, or do I chase this car? And you know, it's not like he was just going to like stop for me. So I would chase him a long time. I didn't want to lose the dogs, moral of the story. And so I go get them. They're terrified. And I did the thing where you kind of crouch down and talk to them. And one came to me. The other one was hiding under my car. And I finally get them, rope burn around their neck, infested with fleas, petrified, trembling, like shaking so hard. It was so sad, y'all. And I drag them into the Airbnb and they go and hide under the stairs. And they're just an absolute disaster. It was so sad, so unexpected. And I was very busy that day. The very last thing that I wrote ever in my day calendar was like, rescue puppies. It's funny the things that find you. And when God can trust you, things will sure find you, if that ain't the truth, over and over and over again. So I have these two puppies now. And yes, I already know I can take them to a shelter. I had an organization that was willing to help also. But they have been through so much that I just can't be another person that does wrong by them. And all I knew was I just needed to sit on it at least for a couple days. So we're in like day four now. And all I knew was they had had so many humans do wrong by them thus far, and I was not going to be one. And so I'm very committed to finding what's good and right for them. But honey, it is not easy. They are running my house, my life, my time, my bed. Puppies be puppying, and they're so much work. I had thought we had made some progress, and I take them out only 10,000 times a day, but you know, they're puppies, and I have pee pads down, and they're getting okay. They're using the pee pads pretty good, but doing good outside too. And they weren't even, the pee pads were clean. And I was like, okay, like, are we getting somewhere? Are you guys learning? And they didn't make a mess on them the whole day, only went outside. And I thought, that's it. We're turning a corner. Well, that is until I found a huge mound of poop in my closet. So, oh, the joys. But instead of getting frustrated and upset and why me, and I, you know, I just can't handle this as we do, I have been trying to embrace them with a spirit of thankfulness. I mean it. Thank God I happened to be there at that moment, at that second. Lord, you trust me with them. What are the odds that this would happen? I have a flexible day schedule, whatever, you know, I don't have tons of carpet in my house, blessing, all these things. And so I'm treating them with thankfulness. I'm thankful for their little lives. I'm thankful that I'm sensitive to them and will heal and let them sleep in my bed. And I'm just trying to approach it with thankfulness. And it changes everything. It changes the workload, the amount of frustration you have, your ability to have patience and to be present with them. And I'm even like, I'm so thankful I have them. I'm so thankful I get this time with them and that I get to steward them, essentially. I'm approaching that with thankfulness. They're kind of like little cute little kind of, you know, pit terrier mixes. They're just really sweet. One boy, one girl. Go to any of my socials. I got pictures of them all over. And if you want to adopt them, I will deliver them anywhere. I will, what's that, Dr. Seuss? A train, a plane, a car, anything. I will take them to wherever you are. So let me know, y'all. But that has been like a little Christmas miracle? A little Thanksgiving miracle. Sometimes we don't ask for things. Sometimes it's not what we had in store, but it sure finds us. All right. Next on today's bulletin, I am booking speaking engagements for 2026. If you would like to have me come to your church or business or group, I can talk inspirational topics, inner healing, calling. I do a woman's healing course. I do marriage counseling, teaching. So think about it. If you have something you'd like me to come to, I would love to speak at your church. Well, I'm very interested in what y'all are doing this week. And I hope you took the homework assignment from a couple weeks ago. And I hope you chose somebody that you were going to be, quote unquote, kind of, speaking of fostering this week. Is there anybody that you know that is having a hard year, a hard holiday, maybe just a hard life? Sometimes life is very hard. Just going through anything that you can invite to your Thanksgiving, or if you don't have a place or situation where you get to invite people, can you go bring them the fixings for a Thanksgiving dinner? Or maybe you bring them flowers, or that week you bake them cookies and just anything. What can you do for somebody this week. And here's the kicker in this. It goes one of two ways. Either one, you can think of somebody in your life that needs help. It could be a single mom. It could be the elderly. It could be somebody just who's like in their 30s who live in a city, or 20s, that live in a city where they don't have family there and they're not going home per se. And anybody in your life that could just use a little bit of love on the holidays, either you know them, and what would stop you from doing something really cool for them? Something special, bring them out. Basket with stuff in it, Thanksgiving stuff. Or number two, you don't have anything in your life like that, like nobody in your life that could use it. And that kind of says something too. Surround yourself with people in your inner circle, yes, that you're close to or whatnot, but then there should be a degree of you too that has some diversity or kind of something charitable or some bit of outreach or something giving within you. And so there's sort of an issue there, I dare to say, if you know nobody in your life that you can't think of that you should give to. So I hope you're thinking on that. And this week, I'm going to do a few things, a little bit of a different week. And I'm hosting in my home two sort of Friendsgivings. And the first one's at the beginning of the week. And we're going to have the kids that we do outreach with. And if you follow me on Snapchat, I post that there. And we do outreach with them as the kids in our neighborhoods out of a big complex together. And there's a group of us from the church. And we do an after-school program with them on Mondays. And we're going to do a dinner with them at the beginning of this week. I got all kinds of kid stuff. We're going to do face painting. We're just going to be together and really dine and commune. And I want them to know that we care about them. We also have made gift baskets for them, food for the week. They, you know, run low on groceries because they won't be at school having school lunches. And I'm just so excited for it. How nice to be present and have a dinner with people that we care about. And then I'm having another Friendsgiving that week too. It's just some friends of mine. So just planning a couple things just to love on people. So since this is the week of Thanksgiving, I have been doing the PDAs, if you remember. And I am partly doing this because I love to brag on the people that I adore. And I want to encourage you to do that too. If there's somebody in your life who encourages you, inspires you, builds you up, is inspirational, lives a cool life, off the beaten path, anything, whatever, I hope that you verbalize that to them. Say it to them. You know what I love about you? And then list all the things. Send them a text. Hey, I'm thankful for you this week. Do it right now while you're listening to the podcast, even if you're driving. Just kidding. Well, I mean, fine. No, in traffic. What? Okay, no, I'm not telling you. No, I'm kidding. But send them a text and say, I'm pondering on thankfulness this week, and I'm so thankful for you. Just want to let you know, and then tell them what you like about them. And, you know, it's so funny. I think there's a hidden fruit of the spirit. Look at not me trying to rewrite the Bible. But like, why is thankfulness not a fruit of the spirit? On TikTok, somebody named Brayden says, hi, Nina. Hey, Brayden, add me. We're recording the podcast right now. So this will be episode 12 that will come out on Monday. And you are getting to like hear, lucky you, right? You're getting to hear it first. But I think it's kind of cool. So Brayden, what's up? No, the fruit of the spirit. Why is thankfulness not a fruit of the spirit? And so I was questioning within myself. And I was like doing the song that I always sing in my head. I'm going, the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gratefulness. See, it is. It is the fruit of the spirit. And then I got in my own head so bad. But then I was like, wait, I think thankfulness is a fruit of the spirit. And then I was like, oh, silly me. And then I was like, wait, why am I out here talking myself out of what I know to be true? So much so I had to Google it. I'm like, what are the fruits of the spirit? I mean, I guess it could fall under something, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, maybe goodness. Nah, I don't know. Why isn't it a fruit of the spirit? But let me give a PDA to the people that I am thankful for. So I was thinking about this week, just the spirit of generosity and that scripture verse that I read last week in 2 Corinthians, I think 9:11. And it was talking about how like your generosity will lead to thankfulness. Y'all, that's like so cool. It says, be generous in every single situation. You hear that? The scriptures say, be generous in every single situation because that will make your heart lead to thankfulness. That feels like code unlocked. Don't you feel like it's a video game? Like, ring, like, what? You just unlocked that. I know some of y'all, you aren't generous in any situation. You ain't never generous. I look for opportunities to give. My dad was a lot like that. He would give. If you had a need, he would give. And there shouldn't be an opportunity where somebody needs and we don't, because then when you start giving, it's a lifestyle and you can't stop. You know those TikToks going out right now of the girl? I have such mixed feelings about it. The girl is saying, tell me what your church's name is and I will call them. And she's pretending that she needs baby formula and asking the churches if they'll supply baby formula. A majority say no. Now, there's a lot of reasons there. We could go into that forever. But I'm like thinking about that scripture verse and I'm like, what about the part of the Bible that says be generous in every situation? Every situation. The more generous you are, the more it leads to thankfulness. So that's why I'm encouraging you to pick somebody that you're going to give to this season. So let me give you my PDAs. So in the spirit of generosity, and I'm like, who are some of the most generous people I know? And I think about it. And the first person I have to think about was my dad. And my dad would give privately and publicly. And he would give and give and give and give and give if he knew him or not. And in his time that he was spending like in physical rehab, it moves me to tears. I promise I'm going to chill out on the crying on this podcast. I say that. That's probably not true. That's probably a lie. But he was just having such a connection even with his nurses in the homes that are the rehabs, the like nursing rehabs that he was in, that he was like, hey, I'd like to fund your kids in the church program. I'd like to pay for their activities for the year. Oh, you have a daughter? I'd like to buy her some Christmas presents. And like people he didn't even know, kids he didn't even have a connection with. And that was really his lifestyle. Big time, that was his lifestyle. And it has affected the way I do everything. And even my husband sometimes is like, I mean, that's, you know, are you like, that's, you know, you already gave this month or this week, or you want to give that much now again, more, and you can't stop. You just can't stop. And I think it plugs into the scripture verse of, you know, kindness will lead them to Christ, and you just give. If you have the opportunity, you give. So I want to give PDA shout outs to the two probably most generous people I know. And the first one is to Kelly Guess. You're one of my best friends. We call her Texas Mom. She has filled I do this every PDA. You have filled a gap in my heart so many times that was so open. And you give to every single person around you. And you don't just give. You don't just bring a gift or give a small gift or whatever. You go all out the extra mile. You give abundantly. You don't just give partial. You do it all. She takes her friends on vacations. She's been generous to me. She's given to the people in my life that I give to, people that I have said, hey, like my friend's going through this or this is going on. Here you go. Thank you. Animal rescue. She helps everybody she sees. She is generous to people she knows and generous to people she doesn't know. Great to her kin and anybody around her. If there's an opportunity to give, she does not miss it, whether it's in person or online, anything you could think of. And I think back to the early days where we didn't really know each other. We had met in a neighborhood and I said to her one time in passing, we were just talking it up at the local, you know, restaurant. And I just said to her, you know what I haven't had in so many years are no-bake cookies. I was like, do you know what a no-bake cookie is? And she was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, I haven't had that since I was like, you know, probably a kid. And we were just joking about it. She goes home, comes back in 30 minutes with a huge tray of no-bake cookies. I'll never forget it. It rocked my world. And she gives probably in ways and times I wouldn't even know about. And yet I never see her miss an opportunity. And you are just such an example. I wish more people were like you. And you are an example of what that scripture means. It's like when you start giving, it leads you into so much gratitude that it then you're abundantly generous in every situation. I just love you for that. I just want to say thank you and I adore you. The next one is my friend Dahui Lee from, we were college besties, and he is just such a good friend to me. And I'm going to tell you what, there is not a time in this life that we go to dinner together that he is not like he wines and dines every person and guest or whatever he's with from college now on to our 30s. He's like, I'm taking you to the nicest restaurant. We're going to get he doesn't just order one good dinner. He gets like six good dinners and all the dessert. You want it? Get it. We're getting it. And he's just always like paying the bill and just a gentleman. I was at his house. He lives in New York City and he's like showing me all his fancy jewelry and all his nice stuff. And he's like, he goes, let me see your thumb ring. And I show him and it's just like gold fill delicate jewelry, right? Like I think I paid $100 for it, $90. And he goes, don't you think, and he is Chinese, okay? And they're blunt. Now I'm from a German background. They're blunt too. So I can take it. And he says, that's what he likes about me. If I've gained a couple pounds, he tells me, and I don't care. But he goes, how much was that? It's a thumb ring. He goes, how much was that thumb ring? I said like $100, if that. And he goes, don't you think you're a little old to be wearing cheap jewelry? And I went, well, yeah, maybe. I guess you're right. Yeah, quite possibly. And he goes, I have a ring just like that. It's real gold. I paid a couple thousand for it. I'm just going to give it to you. And he just gives me this gold ring. He's always been like that. When we were in college together, he'd be like, let's go to the drive-thru. I'm buying us the 100 box chicken, or was it Fabius 50 piece. I'm buying us the 50 piece chicken nugget. He just does the greatest things. Bought me Tiffany dining sets for plateware for my wedding. Just generous to everybody. Bought my goddaughter presents when we were in college. Just a giving person, giving in every scenario. And so I love you for so many more reasons even than that, but you definitely deserve a shout out for that. So Dahui Lee, thank you for being so generous. I ask that you be generous too. I often think if I have an opportunity to give, I most often don't want to miss it. That could be online. That could be things I don't know about, do know about, a homeless person, someone who's in need. If I get an opportunity to give, I want the Lord to trust me and I want to be led into thankfulness. So just something to consider about that. Okay, let's see. I also cannot wait to see all the photos of the creative things that people made for Thanksgiving. And I want to know what are like the fun things that y'all do, like the unique things, the original things. I've been hearing of people having pasta bars for Thanksgiving at their house and having different kinds of pasta, different kinds of sauce, and different kinds of toppings. As much as we all love a turkey, isn't that so fun? Why not? A couple creative things I'm doing this week for Thanksgiving. I'm going to be making a pomegranate seed harvest salad. That's like a pretty thing to bring for Thanksgiving, is it not? And when I have all those kids at my house, like I was talking about before, obviously we want to have some kind of apple pie, but you don't apple pie almost trumps anything else for me. I mean, do you know? That's a dang McDonald's apple pie. That little thing in that sleeve, y'all, does it not hit? Does it not hit? Tell me. I got to keep myself from getting them. I probably get one, once a year, just as like a little whatever. But I'm thinking about just going and buying like 30 McDonald's pies. Like, would you love that? Walking in and seeing 30 McDonald's pies. I don't know. I'm also going to make like a Thanksgiving casserole where you kind of layer all the parts of it and they kind of form together. So just some creative things. I want to see what are like the fun things that you guys want to make. I always think on Sister Wives when Mary makes the Rice Krispie treat turkey. Do you know what I'm talking about? I want to see that kind of stuff. I want to see the weird Thanksgiving stuff, the creative things. I was make chestnuts on Thanksgiving. Maybe you make something out of the box. Maybe you make something a little fancy this year, a little weird, a little special. Make a duck instead of a turkey. I don't know. I'm just saying that's the part I can't wait for. I love seeing creative ideas and weird stuff people make. Let's move on to our headliner of the episode. We're going to be talking about one of my absolute favorite topics of all time, and that is the gangster pilgrims. I love the pilgrims. I think had I been in the 1600s, I would have been a pilgrim. I'd like to think that I'd be that brave. The story of the pilgrims is like, you've either had an encounter with it or you haven't. And we are shorting ourselves with only knowing kind of the bullet points of that story. And I'm going to tell you where I heard it first. So we were going through a time, a season in church where, as humans love to corrupt things and humans love to mess stuff up, it was a messy season in church. Lots of division, as we do, as humans do, Christians too, believe it or not, you know, Christians mess up too. And it was just a season of just conflict in church. And it was the week of Thanksgiving, and it was going to be the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And I was at my parents' house, and we were all getting ready to go to church together. And my dad has PBS on. And there is this documentary, this show about the pilgrims. And I kind of just got stuck watching it. I like history and I love a documentary, and we're just watching it. And it wrecked me so brutally. It about knocked me out. I just had never heard the full story told that way. Y'all, when I tell you, I was an emotional, it like reset my whole being. I was so moved by the story of it and the details and what they went for. I highly suggest just YouTube, Story of the Pilgrims, any of them. But if you can find the PBS one, it's so good. And their story is just, it's so inspirational. It's a concrete story of what it means to be set apart and how we are to leave. And I went to church that morning, puffy eyeballs, crying from watching it, sobbing. But as we're learning, I'm so emotional, but I'm sobbing over this story. And people are like, "Oh my gosh, are you okay?" And I'm like, "I'm fine. I was watching the pilgrims." And they're like, and that made you cry. I'm like, you obviously haven't seen it. Yes. They're just gangsters, Okay. I love, it's my kind of people. There's a very, 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 I'm learning it even more. And this can plug into a lot of things. So try to follow it with me, follow the bouncing balls. There is a lot of things in this life where there will be a small demographic of people who will stand up and speak for what is right and speak for what is truth when it's unpopular. It's difficult. There's isolation for it, prosecution for it, persecution for it, and it's not easy. It's difficult to take a stand against something when there is hidden motives, money always, power, something sneaky happening, things that are wrong, majority. And what I'm learning more and more and more is people do not like the dust kicked up. And they would rather sit in filth or have you be wrong or have them be wrong, or just they'd rather live in untruth than the dust get kicked up. They don't want to talk. People are not confrontational. Nobody wants to talk about anything. They don't want to face the facts. They don't want things to be shifted or adjusted or changed. They want what they want. They want, and this is tale as old as time. It's going on right now in our society, in our culture. And I am working on a series. This is all going to make sense. It's all going to fit in together. A series and a segment about the church. And I will warn you when we do it. And it's a very delicate and sensitive and precious topic that is to be protected, but also needs some light put on it. And I do want to talk about my personal experiences in church. I went through a season where God called me to expose a tremendous amount of corruption in a church that I was in leadership in. and it was one of the hardest things I've ever did. The lesson that I learned is so reflective of what the pilgrims were doing. That is also so reflective of what's going on with the Charlie Kirk stuff. Y'all, if you have not followed that case past just the initial shock of it all, the layers and layers and layers and layers of lies and corruption and involvement and gaslighting, and it's like a million pounds of a thousand different things, and it's unavoidable. But people who are speaking truth about the situation, people who are saying the 1 + 1 is not equaling 2 in here, stop trying to tell us that in most things in life, 1 + 1 = 2. But this situation, 1 + 1 = 3. This is an exception where it equals 3. I look at Candace Owens. Let's just say it. Even if you don't agree, I don't agree with everything she says. I don't agree with all her Zionist opinions. I do not. But sis is a detective. And she's saying, okay, fine. Maybe one thing I'm noticing isn't really what it is. But how about 2? How about 6? How about 10? How about 15? How about 20? How about 30? How about 50? 50 things in this situation don't add up. And y'all, their churches are preaching against her. If somebody thinks that they're exposing corruption, let them do it, even if they're wrong. And that very, very small demographic of people who are willing to say what nobody else will say, they will get persecuted harder than ever. You know who else got that a lot? Any guesses? Can you think of another real famous figure that got persecuted like that? You could probably think of a lot, but can you think of the number one? Anybody? How about in the chat on TikTok? Anybody who, how about Jesus? Right? Martin Luther King. We could go down a list of all kinds of people. But what about Jesus? And I think we get so used to the story of him and we don't think about what was actually going on practically. They killed him over it. And I'm not trying to compare myself to any of these figures, but I have felt this on a very, 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 very small scale also. I've lost friendships over it. Like, hey, brother, sister, I love you so much, but this is a road of corruption, or you shouldn't be doing this. I lose more friends than anybody I know because I speak life over people. And I'm like, I would turn from that. I would go the other way. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to change. We don't want to think we were wrong. And the pilgrims are a story of that too. And they're just so moving to me. And until we read and hear the details of their story, I don't think we even have a concept of what they went through. So here they are in England, and the religious circle in that time, mostly Church of England, you know, a lot of Catholicism, whatever. They were getting very political, very set in their ways, and really controlling. And they were punishing people who weren't practicing and worshiping the way that they felt like they needed to do, participating in all the rituals, giving the way that they were supposed to be giving. And there were these people, the Puritists, who were Puritans. Here I go. Fact check me. And then here's this small demographic of people who they had all these different names for them. The names kept changing. But they were saying, hey, listen, we love God, but we feel like what's going on here is not scriptural. And they wanted to question it. You know, we're doing a lot of things in church that it's not scriptural. And then we're leaving out a lot of things in the Bible, and we're not including those in this. And they were just asking to be able to practice the scripture in the church, in the church. Now you would think that that would sound like, duh, right? Like, can we practice scripture in the church? Of course. No. Nope. Not that easy. It was so much so that they were getting imprisoned for it. Now, if that doesn't hit home for me, I know what that feels like. It's awful. And I am relating it to my own personal experience too. And I will get into the story more. I'm working with a few people to help me navigate narrating this so that I do it very delicately and protect the people involved, because even though they were wrong, they deserve respect. But I presented scripture to the leadership that I was under at a church. And I said to them, I want to show you what scripture says, and we are not handling these situations by the instruction that are in the Bible. Now, I would have thought that that would have been so well received, as we would, right? It was not. It absolutely was not. And the way that that kicked up the dust. And so it's funny because when I watched that documentary the first time, this was when all this was going on in this church. And I'm like, this is tale as old as time. America was founded off the Church of England not wanting to go by the scripture. Now, were they probably in some areas? Yes, but not entirely, which is why we have so many different denominations, because certain denominations want to focus on certain aspects of the Bible. But there is this core group of people who are saying, what about the whole Bible? What about the full scripture? Full fold. What about it all? And we get so set, and it breaks my heart to say this, and I struggle to want to talk about this topic sometimes too, because if people aren't Christians, the last thing I ever want to do is to veer you away from being a Christian. I want you to know that the water is warm and it's good, but man, humans know how to mess stuff up, and that's Christians too. And there's got to be a level of forgiveness for that also. But these people, these pilgrims decide, and they're called all these things, right? Like the Brownists and Puritans, all these things. And that's the part of messing up. But they said, we would rather risk our life and leave everything we know and fight for this, because we feel so strongly, we don't want to settle for anything less than the full translation of the Bible. And they were religious radicals. What a cool time of these people to want to fight for it. You know what else they were doing? They were meeting in house churches. They were meeting in house churches because they couldn't worship God the way they wanted to in the real church. And I'm just so moved by their story. I was reading this backstoried article about it, and they were talking about how they probably all worked 7 years to raise enough money even for that boat. And it was an old ship. The Mayflower was an old boat and it had a lot of problems. And they like had an agreement that they would work all this time. Even to think about that, they were so desperate to just worship and not be punished and to have a place where the Bible was properly and appropriately interpreted. It's just moving. That time, that dedication, and the sacrifice is insane. And they went on there knowing that many people would die. People went on there pregnant. They brought kids. Think about bringing animals into there. And it was a pretty, if you ever read about the conditions of the boat, they will talk about how it was brutal. There wasn't a ton of space for all the travelers. I think there was like 120 or something. And there wasn't a ton of space for them, very, you know, right all beside each other, boom, boom, boom. And they said, you know, the medical situation, the bathroom situation, people dying, and people were giving birth on there, kind of all on top of each other. It makes me think of in the movie, was it Amistad? A different topic, but with the slaves, where all the slaves were in the bottom of the boat and the lady has a baby in the bottom of the pile of people and they pass the baby up to the top. I think it was that movie. It probably looked fairly similar to that. I think we kind of envision this like beautiful cruise. This was not the Carnival Mayflower. They did not have happy hour on that Mayflower. And as we know the story, they die, and they wanted to have a godly republic so bad that they said, we are going to go into the unknown. They knew it was going to be dangerous. They were prepared to deal with the natives. That is so terrifying. And then I look back about my situation in church, and I didn't have all that to lose. And I was very anxious. I wrestled with it with God for months. I said, Lord, I felt like I was supposed to do it. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to. I don't want to do it. Please. I'm like, God, that is messy. And I had a good friend of mine for many, many years take me to dinner before I went to bat for all that. And she said, Nina, I'm going to tell you now, if you do this, you're asking for it. And she was right. They came at me so strongly because a lot of fight for power. It was a money thing. And nobody wants checked. I was like 20-something. Nobody wants checked from a 20-something-year-old girl. But I invite you to be a part of that small demographic of people who want to do it the biblical way, who want to do it by the Bible, the Christ-like way, the right way, a place out of love. And love can look like discipline sometimes. And it took years for truth to be revealed in that situation. And it's painful. It hurt so bad. It was awful. And in the end, I got beyond justice for that situation, so much justice that it ached me for what was all exposed, because it was even worse than I thought. And it's, you kind of enter in this place where God asks you to do things and it's awful. But think about their sacrifice, y'all. It created what we have now. And there's just so much reward. The ones that died on, let's say, on the boat on the way over, they have no idea that they were contributing to what we all live in now. And your sacrifice and blind faith in God's plan sometimes, it leads to such a greater, larger, bigger picture that you can't even see. And it is so moving. These people wanted the right to question the spiritual authority. They wanted, some of their fundamentals were that all members were created equal and they all get to have a part in creating the church structure as long as it was biblical based. And they risked it all for that. And think about, even their crop was low. The winters were so harsh, it was killing them. I mean, terrible. I sat 60 days in jail and felt terrible for myself and couldn't believe the things I was going through. These people were laying on top of each other on a dirty boat that had so many issues and had water leaking and the food was low and so stinky. And then to then go usher into a place where, I mean, think about it. They docked and they weren't staying at an Airbnb. What if they did? What if the Indians were having Airbnbs? What if? Maybe, no. But to have nothing? I mean, you dock on this land. I read this thing that said they would sleep on the beach. They would just sleep on the beach. Actually, kind of sounds nice. No, but they didn't have food stock. They didn't have all these things because they wanted to purely serve Jesus. And people were so mad at them for that. Think about the people that called them crazy, that said it wasn't worth it. Not only did they find freedom, but they created the greatest nation in the world. Just by defending truth. And we've talked about that on this podcast too, is to advocate for truth, to be a defender of truth. It's a hard calling and most people don't want it. A lot of y'all don't even want it within your family. You don't want the call to truth. You have a call to truth and only the brave will take it up. You know, all those scriptures in the Bible, all those scriptures that talk about the road less traveled and all the people that betrayed Christ and very few even came back and the parables and all those things, that's legit. That's real. And the pure-spirited people who are wildly loving, passionately giving, being generous to the point of inconvenience and speaking truth and fighting for what's right and going after people, it changes everything. Every single thing. I saw a man shoplifting this week. And this ties into the full story. And he was carrying a whole bag of stuff from the place and had a hat on. And, you know, a lot of people, a woman could be intimidated by that. A woman could want to walk. And I just confronted him. I said, bro, what do you got? What's going on there? And I actually did it with love and I complimented him and did it the right way. But he just started sobbing. Now that could have been scary, but that was defending truth. That was saying, hey, are we stealing over here? We can't be doing that. And when you step into the calling, and I tie that into this whole story, when you step into the calling of the truth, nothing else matters. And I look at Candace Owens right now. I don't care if you like her or not. She kind of bugs me sometimes. Who cares? That lady is laying her life down for truth. She said, I know that there is a laser on me, probably to kill me too. The things that I'm exposing, you're going to want me dead also. And I'm paying the price. When you get invested and involved in truth, you don't want any other way. That's emotionally, relationship-wise, in your family, in your life, for the Bible. It's all of it. And the pilgrims were just the start of that. And so it all ties into this big picture, even the way we cherry pick the Bible now, in the way we date, in the way we serve, in the way we do church, in the way we're involved, how we pastor. I got big news. The modern day church, current church, I think they're going to go under a splitting too, just like the Church of England did. The modern day church is not going to serve the second coming of Christ. Not many of them. It's not. I am almost ill over the theatrics and the coffee bars and the, I don't want it. I want nitty gritty, brutal, Christ-like church where we are loving the unlovable, when we are family, when we're defending each other and talking about the hardest possible scriptural topics. And I think that's what the pilgrims did too. So I'm not trying to take any of their clout. I'm just wildly inspired by them. And they're one of the very few things that I find truly moving, all the way down to the unity that happens between Samoset and the Indians. And they finally come together. And this part makes me want to cry. They come together and they say, you have crop we need, and you guys have protection that we need, and we can fight each other and fight to the death and rip each other's eyeballs out over who's right and who's wrong and whose is this and who should have been here and who shouldn't have been here. And we can just fight to the end and see who wins. Or we join together, even though that doesn't guarantee that nothing else ever goes wrong. They still had division after that. But then they come together, they both think that they're going to come to fight, and they both considered, and what do? They come with peace offerings. I honor you, I need you, you need me. The ultimate story of unity and togetherness, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And even past that moment where the Thanksgiving came from, there were things that they had to hammer out. I might be wrong, but I believe there were still, deaths and stuff in between them. But there was an agreement also. And they decided to honor each other and that they needed each other and that they knew of each other's strengths. And so while I can't, listen, my little hillbilly self cannot do justice to the story of the pilgrims, but I can encourage you to go watch it. And I love the PBS one, but any of them are good. And I even like to read up on there. I read a whole book one time on why the pilgrims left England. That was really all it talked about. And just the hardships that they were going through and the things that they were suffering from, what was happening to them. And they were kind of exiled. And it has just encouraged me in every way possible. In incarceration reform, it encourages me in, I believe we're going to go under church reform, what's going on in current issues. Politics needs it. Y'all, our politics are so filthy that we need people who will speak truth on it, who will call it out. It comes at a huge price, a huge price. You will hurt over what you take up a cross for, but man, is it worth it, because it will create the strongest thing possible, which is a reflection of the American story. So I don't know if you've ever heard it told that way. I might have botched that back, but I hope you hear my heart in it. I hope you feel it when I say it and appreciate what people had to stand up to and stand up for. And you should be passionate about the justice in the word and in the Bible, and to really break off the religious hustle and bustle and fights and territory and land and ego strokes and pride. It's all so gross. So really what you should be doing is seeking pure, raw truth, union between each other, union when you know there's going to be fights. All this beautiful scripture about learning how to love who's wrong, being brave, being courageous, being strong. If God's behind you, who's against you? Fear has no room here. And it's boldness against your hurt feelings. It's boldness against being accepted. It's boldness against your platforms and what you deserve and what's right and positions, all of it. And you stand up for what's right. I will always encourage you to speak truth over things every time, to defend scripture until the end. Don't cherry pick it and get real good. So let's plug it all back into our topic of self-reflection. Get real good at saying, sure wasn't doing that right. Sure wasn't living a life of sacrifice set apart, not learning how to be generous in abundance, not doing what God says. Let's get into the whole Bible, not just part of it. So I hope that sticks with you. I hope that inspires you. I hope that makes you want to do good in your life. I can tell you this, and you'll hear me say this 1,000 times, the wrong always run. The wrong always run. Every time. If you want 100% confirmation of who's wrong, they run. Because the people who are willing to talk about it stay. The people who know that truth prevails, they'll say, let's talk about it all. Expose it all. I mean, in every situation, let's just talk about it. I'm here. Question me about it. And you can run that from beginning to end, from Jesus to Charlie to Kansas to people within your church to people who stand up to the pilgrims, all of it. That's the common thread. And we're missing it. We're missing it. So shout out to the pilgrims. Because you're my hero. So while y'all are saying, you know, whoever's your hero, I don't know, a singer, whatever, the pilgrims are my hero. Reba McEntire's your hero. The pilgrims are mine. All right. So I hope that leaves you with something. I'm going to pray for us. I ask right now, God, that you instill truth, truth in all areas, truth in the areas that hurt, where we were wrong, where we're embarrassed, where there's generations of things that are wrong. And I pray that we will not be uncomfortable or awkward or turned off by truth, but we will run to it. I ask that you enter us into a season of true repentance. I hear that topic a lot amongst current Christian culture, that repentance is going to have a comeback. And I pray this week you encourage us to give in abundance, to give generously in every situation, that it completely leads our heart into thankfulness, that we will have a hungriness for truth like the pilgrims, and that we will give and love and be present with the people we're there with this week. I pray for the hurting hearts this holiday season who are missing people, who are lonely, traveling, disappointed, sad, working, that you would show up and give them a supernatural presence of your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. That's for y'all too on TikTok. Would you guys do me a favor? Will you follow this show? Don't just look it up every time you listen to the episode, but would you follow it? Would you just follow the show? You go follow it, it'll send you notifications. I really appreciate y'all listening. And the next time we talk, we're going to be in December. It's going to be Christmas. I'm thankful for you. I hope you eat until you fall asleep and pass out and take a nap. And then I hope you eat more. Be present. Make eye contact with the people you have dinner with this week. Ask them how their lives are. Ask them how everything in their life is, and say something nice to them, compliment them, speak life over them. Why don't you be generous to them? Why don't you give them something? Hand them $20 before you leave, or ask if you can donate to their school thing, or, you know, whatever. And if any of you want a puppy, get at me, because they're probably chewing up my whole life while I record this. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Bye.